morning, Mr. Hausman.
Beautiful morning it is.
AFF Tech meeting.
Here in Portland.
April 8th.
It's lovely here as well.
It's always lovely at Bonneville.
It is, really.
It's a secret that only you know so well.
Someone just joined?
Yes, this is Henry Ewan, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, a member of TAC.
Welcome.
Thank you. Am I the first one?
No. We have Catherine Costa, Doug Baus, Ben Hausman, Bern Klatt, and Tammy Mackey.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, who's on the conference call? Anyone?
It's already in the car.
Yes, there's some folks here.
Who do we have on the line so far? Is it Tom Lord, is it Krista?
With the guy Catherine Costa from ODFW and TAC.
Yeah, I've recruited ODFW, Stuart Ellis from Crickfit, Jeff Pryor Crickfit, Scott Brandt from the Shoshone-Bannock Tribes, and Tom Lors, who just joined.
You're all going to have to introduce yourselves one more time, so you can just wait a sec.
Well, I just want to know if you're on, Tammy. Jeez.
Yeah, of course I'm here.
Alrighty.
We're waiting for Clugston to show up as well. So we'll just wait a couple more minutes before we get started.
So we've got Meyer, we've got Fanoa, we've got Kruger, we've got Dave Wills.
I was doing fine until this moment.
Actually, Clugston and Tackley are here in our office, so I can beat them up in person.
Okay, we came over to
is on.
Tammy, is there anyone else you're with? As you may have guessed, I'd like to get this meeting done and over with because I love this topic so much.
All right, so I want to make sure I've captured everyone. Tom, why don't you go through introductions of everyone that is there with you?
Okay, at Chris's office we have Tom Lors, Rick Kruger, ODFW,
Dave Clugston, Corps Engineers, Sean Tackley, Corps of Engineers,
Stuart Ellis, Critfic.
Jeff Pryor, Critfic.
John Whitaker, Critfic.
Scott Brandt, Shoshone Bannock Tribe.
This is Catherine Costa from ODFW.
This is Jimmy Ewan from Fish and Wildlife Service.
Henry Ewan, Fish and Wildlife Service.
Yeah, this is Enrique Patino from NOAA Fisheries here in Seattle at some point.
Ed Meyer and Gary Fredericks.
And we got Bern Klatt and Tammy Mackey over here at the district.
We have Jens Lovetang and Mark Mannion calling in from the Warm Springs Tribe.
Doug Baus, Corps of Engineers.
Got Hausman?
Yeah, I'm here.
Someone else just joined?
Hi, this is Roger at Yakima Nation.
Hello, Roger. Okay, is that everyone?
You expect more?
We're missing Alan Byrne.
Yeah. I know he's supposed to be on.
Yeah, he is supposed to be on. He did say he'd make it.
Yeah, he'll be on here, I'm sure, so I might wait for a minute for him.
Okay.
Oh, Enrique, I found your cell phone charger.
All right, thanks.
So, the agenda for this meeting is just to discuss the change form regarding picket lead operation and the density criteria. Did anyone have anything else that they felt they needed to talk about today? Perfect. Maybe we can get through this. Who just joined?
Alan Burns.
All right. Welcome. Okay. So, Tom, do you want to start by explaining your change form?
No.
Please.
But I will. One point of clarification. Has the center picket lead, is it still in position? Has it been removed yet, or is it still there?
Still there.
Okay. Well, with that, last year we tried a center picket lead operation to aid in shad passage, hopefully get through our sampling that we do here for TAC and USB Oregon work. Unfortunately, while doing that, it seems like there is a potential bias occurring from this new basic configuration we've set up. To ensure that we don't have a bias, we propose to go back to the previous sampling. We sent in a change form to have the center picket lead removed, and we came up with a density criteria of fish based on Bill's work of 0.3 pounds per cubic foot of water. I then went through a delightful calculation of approximate water between two weirs and came up with a criteria based on that. It's obviously going to have to be a work in progress because Bill's work is done, I think, 1979, if my memory serves me. So, but that's maybe different than what we're seeing at Bonneville. So this, of course, will have to be under review as we do it.
Tom?
Yes, Gary?
Was that really 0.3 pounds?
That's what you gave me.
No.
Great. 1 pound per...
Your memo, if I can find in here.
That's not what my memo says.
1 pound to 0.3 cubic feet, sorry. And it's 1986 Bell. So it's 1 pound of fish per 0.3 cubic foot of water. That's
what you used.
That's what I used. I was just trying to remember, and of course my memory is poor. So with that, we came up with a density criteria of starting with 6,000 fish as counted at the Washington Shore Ladder. Up until that point, you could have four picket leads in. We suggested 5 hours. I guess at this time, Garrett Fredrickson sent in some changes that NOAA had suggested in their memo. If the group wants, I can discuss those changes as we go through this. That might be the most time-saving methodology instead of me going through the whole thing and then have NOAA saying, well, by the way, we want this instead.
I agree.
Okay. So what we suggested was 6,000 fish at that time and allow four picket leads operation for 5 hours. Of course, during this whole time, there would be monitoring going on. If crowding was seen, picket leads would be raised. NOAA had countered and had suggested keep the 6,000 fish as your first trigger, but instead have four picket leads for four continuous hours to have four picket leads for three continuous hours, raise one picket lead for half an hour, and then have another, and then drop that picket lead and go.
Wait a minute. Let me... Tom, I didn't change that. It's four hours, four leads at 6,000 fish.
Below 6,000.
Yeah, it's in, you know, we established 4 hours a long time ago. That's in my memo from January,
yep.
The 4 hour issue, and then an hour extra was after the leads were pulled to allow, you know, you folks to sample fish that are moving up to the system. But what I didn't change. I changed the five to four, but it's still 4 hours at 6,000 fish,
yep.
And it's still 2 hours at 12,000 fish. It's just that we've thrown in a 3 hours at 9,000 and a 1 hour at 18,000 and above.
Yeah. So you did a much more fine, you did a finer gradation.
It's just interpolation, extrapolation, but it's just to fill out a table. And then what we're saying is that when you reach those 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, or 1 hour limit, that you must pull one of the leads for a half hour, which I think you also had in your memo. I know you had 15, 20 minutes and a half hour. We chose half hour. I said it's going to take time for fish to move out, especially if there's high density. And then you can go back. the sampling for the additional number of hours that it takes to get the 4-hour total lead downtime. So we're giving you, no matter what, 4 hours of 4 leads down on any given day. It just may take 6 hours at the highest densities to get those 4 hours of 4 leads down.
Right.
And we're giving you the extra time at whatever it takes to work up the fish. That's not an issue. It's just the 4 leads are the issue here.
This is Jeff. I'd like to get away from this raising one picket lead at a time. I think we saw biases 2 or 3 years ago from that. All four up, all four down.
Okay, then we're done.
And maybe shorten it. I would like to, you know, perhaps we could shorten the time they have to be up. We're only going to raise one for half an hour, raise four for 10 minutes or 15 minutes or something like that.
All four for half an hour? Yeah, I don't care. I really don't care about that. You know, if it's all four, we could talk about the time on that, because it might flush out the issue. I'll leave that up to our density folks, but... you know, we could talk about the amount of time then that we're down. I see what you're saying. I'm not going to be open to not allowing a safety valve here after these time periods.
That's fine. I think that'll work fine.
Okay. Good. Well, then let me finish this, Tom, if I may.
Go for it.
The other thing we said, this is from, and you know, our criteria have a temperature dependent component that suggests that we need to reduce the crowding density 5% for every temperature Fahrenheit increase in temperature above 50 degrees. What I'm saying here, I'm just going to basically ignore that to some degree. We're going to say that that first four part criteria that I mentioned is for temperatures from 50 to 70 degrees. Once we get above 70 degrees, we want to see that the number of fish that trigger these different levels of actions cut in half. So we'd start at 3,000 fish, and then 4,500, 6,000, 9,000. We still have the period of 4 leads up or 1 lead up or whatever for a half hour, or maybe it's 20 minutes. And then you can go back to sampling. You still get your 4 hours. My only caveat is that you need to be done by 10 o'clock a.m. So you're going to have to back. If you think you're going to need 6 hours to do this instead of four, you've got to back up until...
Do you have the write-up?
4 in the morning, and that's still that time of year. You know, it is light, and fish are moving at that time. Maybe not at 4, but you know, they start to move at then stage and move early. So I think you can still get your fish. It's just going to be a little more difficult. You're going to trigger the criteria sooner just because of the water temperature issue.
So, Gary, this is John Whitaker.
Hey, John.
Do you have a write-up of, you know, well, maybe let's back up and just start talking about below 70. You know, so you're talking about having a trigger at 6,000. Or maybe run through that again so I can understand what you're...
Okay, John, it's I'm doing what... Okay, you guys said 6,000 fish, 5 hours. We're saying 6,000 fish is okay, but 4 hours, as we discussed back in January. And then, you know, I'm just carrying that through. You guys said 2 hours at 12,000. I'm saying that's fine, 2 hours at 12. And I just said to have some clarity there in between. This is a density criteria. So as we get more fish in the ladder, the idea is to change these. So 6,000, 4 hours, 9,000, 3 hours, 12,000, 2 hours, 18,000, 1 hour. Once you hit that time period based on that count of the previous day's passage to the West Shore ladder, you need to open the picket leads for a period of time to let the crowded up fish go through. Now that's just in the ladder. It's just to relieve the crowding in the ladder. Now if you guys want to, you know, we set a half hour if we're going to only open one picket, but if Jeff would rather have all four pickets open, that's going to relieve crowding faster, so we can talk about that time, you know, how much time we would want those up. But, you know, we want to make sure that what happens is that we get those fish that are crowding up in that pool at the picket leads, we want to relieve that, you know, and that's probably some crowding that's going on further down the ladder at that time, too, so especially at those higher passage rates. I mean, 18,000 fish, that's a lot of fish in the ladder, so...
And as
is Washington Shore, and we realize that UNT feeds in and all that stuff, but this is just, you know, besides that. So that's what we're saying. Is that clear, John?
Actually, this is Stuart Ellis. I had a question just on how are folks defining fish? Are we talking just salmonids?
There is a criterion there that I put four shad equals one salmonid.
Yeah, when we're all, you know, that's a little squishy.
All the density criteria based on pounds per fish, and it didn't specify pounds per fish.
But for the salmonids, is adults and jacks combined?
I said the average salmonid for whatever for worse is about 10 pounds. The shad's probably about 2.5 pounds. Those ones you can worry about the most. So
what's a sockeye considered? That's more like shad size.
Well, take your wild guess. If you want to get it down to that point where say, okay, sockeye at 3 for a salmon, how about that? Pick it up. Well,
don't you have a...
I did salmon and shad. I did not break out because otherwise you start taking lamprey. It's what, 10 lampreys?
The half hour or minute, the 10 minute difference, I think, is something how it works out there. But I mean, how does that really affect you guys?
I'm assuming you're talking to the samplers?
Yeah.
I think the main concern is going to be
My main concern is going to be those four picket leads and trying to get it. Let's buy a sample.
Yeah.
Jeff, I don't have
that center divider, the whole center divider issue. I don't know.
Jeff, we're taking.
My thought is willing to try these things and see how things work.
Yeah, we're taking the center divider out. We can pull all four. You know, you guys are the ones that have to do the pulling on the leads. So
yeah.
If you guys want to pull all four, that's great. I'm glad to hear that.
No, I'd rather pull all four.
Okay, so that's perfect.
Sure.
And then,
I'd rather have less time, but we can see how it goes.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
This is Chris Caudill from University of Idaho. I kind of jumped in here, but I think that it shouldn't impact us too much either. It'll just be a matter of having to be there longer.
Right. We understand that.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, as long as we get the fish we need, we should be okay. And if we're not getting the fish we need, then you'll hear about it.
Yeah, it's a two-hour extra. I mean, really, if it's a half hour between each, or maybe it's an hour and a half, I guess, depending on how you look at it. But it isn't that much.
We're going to go up every half hour. How often? Every 2 hours?
It depends on the fish numbers.
On the fish numbers,
okay.
It could be not at all. It could be every 4 hours, which is really not at all. And then 3 hours.
Yeah.
You go up for a half hour, then you get you get another hour after that probably, because then you hit your 4 hour limit of soak time for four leads. So I mean, it just works from there. But the worst case is that if you're at a 1 hour limit, then you got to go up every hour and open the thing up to let fish out. That could extend your time in there by an hour and a half, 2 hours. So
that shouldn't be a major burden for us.
Yeah, and you can count it from the time you get the leads, the first lead open, as far as I'm concerned, start getting them open. I don't know how fast. Well, they all come up at once, don't they?
Yeah.
So that's yeah. So as soon as you get them started, that's when you start.
They're all separate, Gary.
So
they come up one at a time. They're all separate.
They do come up one at a time. So how long does that take?
Not long.
Okay.
I mean, but you can only do one at a time. You're standing there doing it.
Okay.
Got four digits.
So I just so everybody knows, I was just going back through a couple of random dam counts, and in mid-June when the shad are peaking, you will be hitting this 6,000 fish criteria every day.
Every day for
a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then if last year in August with the high steelhead numbers we had, we would have easily been over the 3,000 limit for most of August. So we'd be limiting sampling pretty much every day in August.
Yeah,
so Stuart, it's limiting it, but really you're still getting the full day's sampling in. So is that really going to... what do you think the problem... how big of a problem is
that? Well, I don't know. I just want folks to know that it will impact the time available, and it could impact the number of fish and thus the sample rates. It'll just be something we'll have to keep an eye on. I don't want anybody to be surprised if we come back later and there are issues with we have not sampled sufficient fish to do things with.
I don't think we'll be surprised.
Okay.
I'll be surprised if this doesn't come back. Let's put it that way.
Right.
It has been found here, so why should next year be?
Haven't gone away yet.
We might learn in June during shad season what's going to happen during steelhead season.
Well, I'd like to hear the project's take on what happens if we plug the drain in the ladder.
Then we're out of criteria in that ladder.
Right, and we can't be out of criteria in that ladder. So how do you get back in criteria if you plug the drain?
Well, historically, we put somebody over the water in a man basket and clean it, but that's not acceptable anymore.
So can we get there any other way?
No.
Well, for this year, I'm assuming.
What happens if you shut the facility down?
Is putting someone in a man basket over moving water without being able to meet our safety requirements, which is to have a safety boat.
Okay.
When we put a safety boat in the tail race, that's not going to do somebody much good until they bob down 38 weirs.
Ben, is there any other way to reduce flow that would get the ladder back in the criteria?
No. I mean, not really. Once that's clogged, we're going to have an issue with being in criteria.
We'll be over our weir. We'll be over 1.3 foot all the way down.
Well, I don't know if it'll be all the way down.
It'll at least be at weir 37, and even if you shut off the AFF, that will not change that that weir being out of criteria. That doesn't clean the drain.
That doesn't reduce the amount of flow going into the ladder at that location.
The way the AFF is set up is we actually add water in upstream at weir 50 to accommodate the flow that's being taken off. And so when that comes back in down below, it would lower it a little bit, but not significantly. Not enough to bring that weir back into criteria without cleaning it.
But, hey, Tammy, in theory, if you shut off, if it plugged, and you shut off the AFF and shut off that inflow up at weir 50, and you got no flow going the AFF, that ladder should go back to criteria, right?
It might get close. I mean, you could certainly get close. If you shut off the flow at valve 50, that's to make up for the water that gets sucked into the facility, so you might just equal out right there.
Yeah.
But not having flow come back in, you might be able to change it a tenth of a foot or so.
Yeah.
Once weir 37 is clogged, it really clogs up, and I mean, we've almost overtopped the weir before.
We can't have that. So the risk here is one of two things, I guess. One, that we're out of criteria, we have to take the ladder down, which would be a major problem. Or that the risk is that we have to shut the facility, the AFF, down to further sampling until we can take the ladder down, which folks aren't going to be too happy about doing that until at least the low in the passage numbers, if not at the end of the season. So
why are we discussing drain cleaning? Is this something that happens at higher densities or something?
Yes, the shad.
The shad causes it.
Yeah, shad die in those pools, and then they clog it. The less time the shad are going in circles in the pool, the less likely are to die there and then plug that drain.
And it should be noted that last year there was no problem with the drain there because those two southern picket leads were open.
That's correct. It's a byproduct of the four leads
being down, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So, I thanks, Ben. I just wanted to clarify the issue there and what the project could do or is willing to do there. So, you guys are basically saying if it plugs, then we have a problem, and it can't be cleaned without taking the ladder down, or at least stopping flow in the ladder. You probably wouldn't have to drain it.
Correct. I think if they stop flow, we'd be able to get some sort of waiver, basically, to do a one-time cleaning to get it back in criteria. But the days of getting in there on a weekly basis every time it gets clogged are gone from a safety standpoint.
It wouldn't be possible to put some sort of a bridgeway over the ladder there and clean it from that, or is that a possibility for sometime in the future?
The grate is very large, and there's a drain pipe that sits right over the top of it, so workers would have to reach out over that, and the walkway was planned at one time, but it's a modification to the fishway that we don't have funds for it right now.
So the other option would be to put a better sort of grizzly cleaning system out in front of there, so this is something I guess we're going to suck it up on.
Yeah.
A big air flush or something, but yeah, those have their own problems with adult passage, so yeah.
We already have a blower on that to try and blow off the grate, but it will not blow the shad off of there.
Is that air or is that water?
I believe it's air.
Okay. I've seen it plugged. I know what you mean. So I want to make sure we're recognized that there's one other issue here that could cause some real problems later, and that's going to happen typically in June. Maybe late May.
Hey Ben, how easy is it to get a waiver for an emergency thing like that? And how quick is it going to get done?
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't really done it. In the past it wasn't an issue. I shouldn't say it wasn't an issue. We still were technically violating our safety protocol because you're just putting people over the water without being able to meet the requirements of the EM385 manual. But at this point, that's all that's changed. Everything from when you're allowed to put guys in the baskets, what you have to do to have personnel in general, which is full outriggers, the whole thing. So it's tightened up across the board with putting people in a lift. So I don't know. I guess this is the answer. I don't really know how easy that'll be.
Do you know who we can find out what process we got to go through to do it?
I can inquire and start. Yeah, I can find out what needs to happen.
So if we can kind of grease it ahead of time, at least for this year, wouldn't hurt.
Sure. And like I said, I think in part it'll be a waiver of sorts. But the other thing is, these guys don't want to be over flowing water in a man basket. So you can get a waiver to do it. I'm hoping to do it once if we were able to completely clog this thing and need to get the ladder back, but it certainly isn't going to be allowed as a maintenance.
Not a routine thing, huh?
Right.
I thought John liked to do that kind of stuff.
I think maybe some of the old timers do, but times have changed.
Okay.
Well, let's get down to brass tacks. So we have Gary's modifications to the original thing. I'm getting nods from the sample people that this is something we can work with and we'll modify as needed through the season.
I don't know about that, Tom, but...
I believe we still need to settle on a timing as far as how long the leads are lifted. That needs to be written out and identified, so it's basically looking at a period for lifting all four leads for some period of time, preferably shorter than half an hour.
Right.
To be worked through everyone and agreed to.
Yeah, I think I'd like to start the half hour, and that's the one thing we can talk about as we go through this season, see how it works.
Yeah. And that was my reasoning of we'll work through this and have discussions in FPOM as necessary to facilitate streamlining this process as much as possible.
Right.
Because, I'd like to be able to say we can do this here and now, but until we get out there and try this, I don't think we're going to know, because this is a change of operations yet again.
So what criteria are we going to do to decide whether half hour is longer than we need? Is there going to be some objective way of measuring this, or will it just be a subjective call of,
I think it's just a subjective call and see how many...
Well, in that case, then we don't probably need to talk about it because it'll just stay a half hour forever. I mean, there needs to be some sort of way of determining whether the crowding is an issue or not.
Well,
otherwise, we're just going to make enough numbers a little bit here.
A little bit?
How long fish hold below these weirs, how fast they go through.
You can look at the count and see, too.
Yeah.
So you get a pump.
Yeah.
How long they get a pump.
For at least
it's going to be real hard. And how many pools downstream clear out in that amount of time?
Yeah, see how much
they're
going to
do.
Wouldn't this depend on the density?
Yeah.
So you need a shorter time frame at 6,000 fish density than you would need at, say, 12,000 plus fish density? I mean, shouldn't it be linked to your density criteria somehow?
I think we're reading more into this than needs to be read into it. I mean, is it how big of an issue is it to wait a half hour? That's all we're talking about.
The samplers have to answer that one.
I think it's mostly an issue in August because we've got that 10 a.m. constraint, whereas during the rest of the year, if we still have 4 hours of sampling, I don't see it making that much difference other than... if it really cuts down our sampling numbers, maybe it gets to be an issue. I don't know. But if the rough densities are high, probably not.
So, yeah, I mean, the idea is, like, when you drop all four picket leads, it generally takes about an hour to fill the ladder. So by raising a picket lead, those picket leads for 30 minutes, then, you're going to have a gap in your sampling time.
Yeah, we're not going to be a whole lot sensitive to all these arguments at this point. We're talking at 70 degree water temperatures.
9,000 fish in that ladder, and we're worried about the half hour height. You know, I'm more worried about the fish at this point.
Is this Fred again?
Frederick. Gary Fredericks.
Gary Fredericks.
Oh, Gary Fredericks. Oh, Fredericks. I'm sorry.
That's a different guy.
Norwegian.
Different guy. Okay. And you're from?
Norway.
Yeah, I'm from Norway.
No, seriously. Who do you work for?
No, fishery.
Okay. I just wanted to let you guys know.
There's one person here. It's Gary Fredericks.
Uh-huh. I just want to let you know that we're going to be reporting to the USB Oregon Policy Group meeting on our progress in these discussions. We'll include NOAA policy representatives for USB Oregon who may even be your regional director. So I just want to let you know that we will be having that report made on how we're doing with this, since we do have a letter from them to address these issues, especially related to our August sampling problems. And so we'll be working up a progress report and providing that at the next policy meeting. So just so you're aware of that.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine with me. I'm well aware of all the issues here, and I've worked on these issues. I've talked with our, at least not up to Will Stelz level because he wasn't there, but at least up through Bruce Susumoto, our division chief. So we've worked these issues over and over for the last few months. And I just let you know we are very concerned about fish safety at that project.
We understand that, but we also get directions through the policy group from NOAA, so I just want to let you know that as well.
Right. So
we're getting directions from NOAA in office directions sometimes. That's kind of bothersome.
Now, it shouldn't be contrary, whatever you're hearing. If that's the case, then I need to know about it. But
well, yeah, we're trying to let you know that we do have a letter that is in place. It's dealing with no requests for sampling. We are trying to address that.
You've seen
here.
My memo, I hope, on that issue. That's a NOAA memo, and it came out on January, I believe,
20th.
Yep. And if you haven't read that, please do.
We also sent out the letter from the USB Policy Group in January, so
yeah, I've seen that.
You've all read that as well.
I've seen that.
So we are going to be responding to that group in terms of how we're progressing and if there are concerns that are holding us up, where they're at, and so on and so forth.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, now that everyone has marked out their territories, what else needs to be done for this meeting? I will take it under myself to write the table. So I was a ding-dong. You start a small change form, which I'm never going to do again. You guys are on your own from now on.
I'll believe that.
Yeah.
Someday.
So I'll write up the new approved change form with table, send out.
Who do you work for?
I don't know anymore.
What's your name?
So I will send a change form out with the improved table. We will then, and in there I will talk about that. We will try to monitor the half-hour thing and see how that works. And I have a bad feeling that's going to be a species issue as well, because we don't pit tag shad, so we're not going to have a damn
pit
tag shad.
Yeah, maybe she says don't pit tag shad out.
Hey, we'll pit tag shad. That'll be fine.
There you go.
This is Chris Caudill again.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
We're here.
Yes. We're hoping to piggyback a little bit of shad tagging, radio tagging this year. I haven't talked to anybody about that yet. It wouldn't involve any more AFF use than otherwise. Who do I need to talk to? John? Ben?
You'll need to send a request letter to me and to the research coordinator, which would be John.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Radio tagging shad. I never thought I'd see the day. Okay, so we'll send that out. And is there any other issues we need to address right now dealing with this topic?
We are going to have some other issues that we will bring up. We're going to bring them through the policy group first, though, in terms of settling some issues with our steelhead sampling in August, which still remains one of our biggest problems. We're not ready to bring that to you at this point, but you can expect that to come up at a later point after May.
Good to know. If
States is on the are on the phone.
This is Catherine Costell from ODFMW. I'm the TAC chair.
And Rick Kruger. You might know Rick.
Rick, you're on. Okay. I didn't hear you. You had some issues in the last time. I just didn't. Was wondering. And
they're pretty well taken care of.
Who from Washington?
Nobody.
Okay.
And
Alan Burton from Idaho.
Right, I heard that one. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Alrighty. Anything else? Or can I call this meeting adjourned?
Please.
Please.
Quick. Hang work in it. Thank you much.
We'll
thank you.
Tammy, are you sending out a roll call for who is on this meeting?
Yeah, I'll send out the minutes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Tammy?
Pardon?
You took minutes?
I did. I took some minutes.
You're better than me. Thank you. And that's it.
It's a given.